Well, for the remainder of our time, we have about 10 minutes, okay? Let's take our Bibles very quickly and turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want to share with you, just in a nutshell this morning, our mission as a camp ministry. And can I just say to you, very boldly and very frankly, we love to have fun, we love to provide resources, we love all the fun activities and the games and the skits and the silly songs at Southland, but Southland is all about the Word of God. Southland's aim, Southland's goal is to encourage young people in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. And all the other, what we might call ancillary things, back that mission to help young people simply do this, to take the next step in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple days ago, we were up in Eagle, Colorado, near Vail, and we decided one afternoon we were going to take a hike up one of the little mountains. And it was a very short hike, okay, so it's nothing too grand, I hate to tell you, but it was in the snow, and I thought of our mission at Southland as we were doing that hike, and how on that hike, to get to what we sang about just a moment ago, the higher ground and our sanctification, it takes step after step after step after step after step. Some of you in here have been saved for many, many years, and isn't it true, you're still taking steps. If you've arrived, let me know the secret, because I would love to arrive as well. But really, the truth of the Word of God is we're not going to arrive until we are changed into the image of Jesus Christ, finally and fully, when we are glorified in heaven. What a day that's going to be. So we're all on this journey. We're all pressing toward higher ground. And that goal, that journey takes daily steps of obedience to the Lord. That, in a nutshell, is what Southland is all about. We recognize that this journey takes steps, and we want to encourage young people in each one of those steps. And so our theme comes from Philippians 3, where the Apostle Paul broke down his journey and his purpose and his pursuit in life in verse 10 by saying this, that I may know him. Would you say that phrase out loud with me this morning? That I may know him. For the Apostle Paul, this was a personal pursuit. Notice this word in this phrase, that I may know him. This is not something that Southland can decide for the young people. This is not something that your church can decide for you. This is something that you personally need to be pursuing. Step by step, day by day, growing in your knowledge of the Lord, which, by the way, is not just an intellectual knowledge, right? Sometimes it's easy for us to have an intellectual knowledge, but the word know in Philippians 3:10 is experiential knowledge. It's taking the truth, know, and then applying it to our lives. And that's got to be taking place in us personally. And then I love this construction of the word know in verse 10 because it really wraps up in all of the action that we take in life. That is the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense, helping us to see that this knowing is not just, well, one day I knew him and now I know him as good as I'm ever going to know him, so everything's accomplished. No, this is something that's perpetual, something that's repetitive, day after day after day. This is where we get the step emphasis, right? Step after step after step, continuing to move forward, progress in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you notice finally in verse 10, the purpose of this pursuit is not just personal. It's not just so that we're on a repetitious religious cycle of knowing the Lord, but it is with the intent, with the purpose of knowing him. You see that there. Not just facts about him, but him personally. This is such a personal relationship that we're called to have here in Philippians 3:10. And then he really expounds on that word him. And if you think of the next three clauses as kind of that word him really brought up in different lights, you notice he says, first of all, he wants to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. You read Romans chapter 6, you're going to come to understand that the power of the resurrection is the power that we as believers have to access in our battle with sin, where the old man is crucified with Christ and we are raised to walk in what? Newness of life. That's what this power is all about. And so we ought to, in our pursuit of the Lord and the steps that we're taking as we're heading towards, by God's grace, higher ground, we ought to be accessing his power. Don't you know that the power to defeat sin is not in you in and of itself? It's not, man, hopefully I can just pull myself up by my bootstraps and get over this anger and get over this bitterness and get over this lust and get over Fill in the blank. No, this is power that is not of ourselves. This is power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be accessing that power as believers. So he wanted to know the power of his resurrection. And number two, in verse 10, he wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. We can all get behind the power, right? Praise God, brother, we got the power of the resurrection. But hold on, Paul, the fellowship in his sufferings. Think of where Paul was when he wrote the book of Philippians. In jail. Literally suffering for the cause of Christ at the very moment he's penning these words. And I just imagine Paul sitting in that prison with the soldiers around him, writing this letter to the church he loved at Philippi and thinking to him, this is what it's all about. My imprisonment is with this purpose, to know Jesus Christ, to know the fellowship in the sufferings that Jesus endured for me. And then finally, in verse 10, he wanted to know conformity to Jesus Christ's death, being made conformable unto his death. When I read that word conformable, I think of what I used to do with Play-Doh. I don't know, maybe some of your kids or grandkids are playing with Play-Doh. You got those little yellow containers, and you got the pink and the green and the red and the brown. And if your kids are anything like I was as a kid, you know, they all end up just getting mushed together, and it's like one big ball of gray matter. It's pretty disgusting, right? What do you do with that Play-Doh? You pull it out and you seek to craft it, to mold it into something. And all I could ever make was a little snake. You know, you roll that thing out on the table and it's like, there's a snake. That's all I've got. But all my friends are making houses and they're making giraffes. I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I'm not that creative, I guess. I mean, that Play-Doh lies in the hands of the master. And that Play-Doh doesn't talk back and say, this is what I want to be. You better make me like this. Or no, the Play-Doh is simply what? It is simply conformable. And I think there are too many Christians in America today who are resistant to that conformity. Where they come to church and, man, they'll hear the word of God. They'll read their devotions. They'll sit under the sound teaching and preaching of the word of God. And we may not do this physically, but in our minds, we walk out these doors and we go, I'll pass. I think the way I'm going is just fine. And we're so burdened about this for teenagers especially, who really don't take their walk with the Lord seriously, and they're resistant, rebellious to the ways of the Lord. And I just want to say that ought not be our heart this morning. We ought to have tender hearts to the word of God, to the truth of who Jesus is. We ought to welcome the change. You know, sometimes when people tell us, yeah, you need to change, we get a little resistant, like, whoa, hold on, like, I'm doing all right. When the word of God tells us we need to change, that shouldn't be a surprise to us. Remember, old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. Don't resist this change. Don't resist this conformity unto the Lord's death. Paul said it this way, I die daily. Mortify. Put to death the flesh. So that Christ could be seen in you more and more and more and more. Not just in the step you take today, but in the step you take tomorrow, in the steps that you make in the following weeks, months, and years. And all of this is for God's glory. This is what Southland is all about. I know this is what your church is all about. Helping you, encouraging you, reminding you, speaking the truth to you so that you could just continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And so I trust that this can be a challenge to all of our hearts.